gentle shepherd. And, you know, again, we've got all kinds of other songs that talk about how that Christ Jesus is our shepherd. And especially that 23rd Psalm. Isn't that beautiful to think about all those things that are mentioned there? Well, I want you to take your Bibles with us this morning. We're going to look in Matthew chapter number 13. And this will probably be something that will be very familiar to most of us that have been around churches and Sunday school and all those kind of things for years and years, I guess. But something that I want us to read and just get a little bit of an idea of the thought of when Jesus is preaching and teaching and how he does this, and particularly this particular parable that we hear of. Listen in verse number 1, chapter number 13. It said, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And the great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us and bringing us to this place today. Thank you again for the safety and the care that you've given us for these last few days. And I pray now you just add your blessing to everything that's preached, everything that's said, everything that's done today. May we do it to honor you. And I pray if there's somebody here this morning and they need the salvation that you offer, I pray they might move, that they might come and find Jesus as their Redeemer and as their Savior today. And we'll just praise you and thank you for that. In Christ's name we ask, amen and amen. Amen. Well, you know, there's a lot of words in our world today that have come to us through the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of things that you hear, and it seems like even some particular sayings that you have heard, and they have originated from the Bible or from a Bible scripture, a Bible writer. And, you know, this is one of those words, parable. I mean, you don't go through your life very much hearing the word parable. And, you know, for a lot of folks, the only time they ever hear about a parable is when they come to church. And, you know, some people will say, well, preacher, what exactly is a parable? I mean, we all understand that it's a story, but, the old-time preachers used to say this, that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's probably one of the best ways to sum it up. It is something to say that everybody can get a handle on, but when in saying it, everybody can understand it, but there's always a deeper meaning to it. And that's what's happening here. As a matter of fact, you hear that Jesus, his disciples say, why are you talking to them in parables? Well, you know, those things work well for a lot of us, right? I mean, those things work well. In our day, you know what we do a lot of times? We will call something maybe an analogy. I mean, we'll be talking about something, but we mean or we're trying to show something else. And a lot of times we want to use things like, you know, a sports analogy. I mean, we'll say, well, when things and times are tough, we might say, well, it's the fourth quarter and there's only 2 minutes left. Well, you know, most people familiar with sports understand that, meaning the time's running out and things are getting close. Well, Jesus wanted to teach in this particular way, and he does, and this is really the beginning of those parables that you find in your Bible. As a matter of fact, here in chapter number 13, there are several parables that Jesus gives to the people because he's trying to teach them of some heavenly things, and they can't quite grab it. I mean, they can't understand it. So Jesus gives them here, and man, what a great story this first one is. It's a story that involves three things. It involves a sower, it involves some seed, and it involves the soil. And those three things, man, great story. As a matter of fact, if you go on and from beyond verse number 18, Jesus explains to his disciples what this parable means. I mean, he gives it. And we'll just read over that. Verse 18. He said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. But yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus has explained the parable to them. But in the beginning, he's just told this parable, and he's trying to get folks' attention. As I say, he's trying to tell them something that is going to be probably beyond their grasp. And that's exactly what a parable is intended to do. It's to give you something that you can get a hold of, but then beyond that, after you have that, then you understand that deeper meaning, or you should be able to receive that deeper meaning. And, you know, when you look at this, I want you to see this as Jesus gives this parable, what he's trying to do. First of all, I want to tell you this. I believe Jesus, in all of the parables that he gives, but particularly this one, he is trying to get those that are listening to him, first of all, to get the picture. You're trying to get the picture, okay? Jesus is laying something out here, and a parable, as I say, gives something to everybody that you can relate to. I mean, there's some of you in here, you can relate to stories about an automobile, or you can relate to a story that would be about grocery shopping, or you could understand something about going to school and learn, you know, whatever it may be. Everybody's got their own particular little thing, but there are some things that everybody can understand. And in that day, they lived in a society that was based around agriculture. Everybody knew what was going on. So Jesus is wanting them to get this story. So what does he do? Well, he tells them a story that is pretty simple and straightforward. This is pretty simple. Well, what's he talking about, preacher? He's talking about, first of all, he's talking about some farmers. As I say, he's talking about a sower. In that day, everybody knew when you said, hey, there's a sower sowing seed, they knew what that meant. They'd gone by and they'd seen people out there, and usually in a field, a big field, there were several of them out there, and they do what you and I, maybe what I've heard in time past, people refer to as broadcast seeding.
They would have a big bundle of seed, maybe in a sack or pulled up into their garment in some way, and they would put their hand in it, and they would take that seed and they would toss it. They'd throw it. And then that's broadcasting it, if you will. They'd take it and throw it out in the direction. Now, you know, today we've gotten high tech. We've got machinery. We've got farm equipment. We've got tractors. We've got particular items that are used for seeding and all that. But in that day, they didn't have that. And as I say, when people went by, everybody knew what a sower was. And, you know, everybody knew what seed was. I mean, they understood that your food came from those seeds growing in the ground. Right? I mean, everybody understood that. You know, I guess I thought about it. Some people in our day don't quite get that. Right? I mean, they don't even understand the process. I remember watching television, and I'm being honest with you. I saw on television one time, they were talking about farmers having trouble and you know, things going on and they're getting tough for farmers and all that. And they were interviewing folks, said, what do you think about the farmer problem? And some old guy come up, he said, I don't know what the problem is. He said, I get all my groceries in there at the grocery store. Well, hallelujah, dummy. Where do you think those come from? But there are some people, they just don't understand the process. I mean, they don't get it. They don't know that you take those seeds and you plant them in that cut ground and you tend to them, you weed them, you get rid of all the bugs and anything, and you watch your crop grow until it becomes an actual fruit. But in that day, everybody knew what seed was good for. Right? Everybody knew that. So Jesus is telling them something, and it's pretty simple and it's pretty straightforward. It's something, again, that everybody could relate to. They're all sitting there thinking, okay, he's telling us this story, but surely there's more to it. So it is similar, as I said, to something that everybody knows in their life. Everybody knew what farmers were and what they were doing and all that. But I want you to understand this. When Jesus is telling these parables, it is spiritual in its depth. There is something more here than just a story about a farmer broadcasting seed, putting it in a soil, and mentioning the types of soil. As a matter of fact, again, everybody knew what dirt was. Amen? Everybody here know what dirt is? Hey, if you got a mama, you know what dirt is. She's rubbed it off your hide. She's griped about it being in your clothes. She's wiped it off your hand. She got a little spit on the cloth and wiped your face off some of that dirt. Amen? We all know what dirt is, right? So Jesus has given them something. First of all, he just wants them to get the picture. I want you to get the picture. Here's what we're talking about. But not only does Jesus want them to get the picture, I want you to understand, second of all, Jesus wants them to gaze into the mirror. When Jesus begins to tell these parables, he is saying, okay, I've given you this, and here's the picture. But I want you to turn that thing around like a mirror and look and see you in this picture. This is where you ought to be able to see yourself. As I said, you know, Jesus talks about the seeds and the sower, but he also talks about the different kinds of soil. And we hear it all description given. He said, there's that wayside soil that where the fowls came and devoured up the seed. There's that stony soil where it just wasn't able to spring up, couldn't get any depth. And it when the sun came out, it got scorched and had no root, and it withered away. Some of it fell among thorns, got choked out by the other things around it. And finally, some of it fell into good ground. So everybody could understand that. But now Jesus is saying, I want you to turn that story around, and I want you to face that story and look at it and see you in the picture that I've just given you. I want you to see yourself in this story. I want everybody here today to see yourself in the story that Jesus has given. You're looking at Him. You're looking at a sower of seed. You're looking at the seed itself. You're looking at the ground that's fallen on. But where are you in the picture? I want to tell you something. I think I've been every one of those descriptions of the soil that's given. I think I've been every one of them at some time in my life. Hey, sometime I just sat there and I just It didn't matter. You know what Jesus said about that fell on the wayside? He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. In other words, it's coming to you. It's there, but you really don't get it at that particular time. And the devil would love to come and steal that away and say, you don't need to listen to that. You don't need to hear that stuff. You don't believe that. Oh, it's not going to help you. It's not really meant. That's for somebody else. And that's exactly what he'll try to tell you. But I want to tell you, I've been there. I've been there where I thought, well, you know, what's this? What's this all about? And you just kind of let it slide. And then second of all, he says, there is the stony ground. And he said, he that receiveth, verse 20, the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy, immediately with joy, he receives it. But there's no depth of this soul. It's not deep. It's just kind of a surface thing. It's kind of like, boy, people get all excited immediately, but after things begin to happen in their lives, the sun comes out, if you will. Hey, the sunshine of trials and problems and work and school and family and bills and payments and lack of work and all those things begin to shine down on you. And you know what it does? Hey, it dries that joy up pretty quickly, and all of that excitement that was around hearing the Word of God, it's gone. It withers up and it's blown away. That's what he says. It's like it's gone. He receiveth it with joy, and yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Oh, it may hang on for a few weeks or a few days. But when tribulation or persecution arrive because of the word, by and by he is offended. Amen. And then you got that. He said it fell among the thorns. You ever notice that? I want to tell y'all something. You're looking at a championship weed grower. I can grow weeds anywhere, right? I mean, I can grow them anywhere you want to put them. But I can grow weeds. Hey, man, you just ask my wife. I mean, man, she'll work, pull, dig. I can go out there and say, pew, and here they come again. They just come right back. I'm talking about thorns, thistles. I'm talking about crabgrass. I'm talking about anything. I can grow it. Hey, man. Weeds are always going to be around. There's always going to be some thorny ground. There's always going to be something else there. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. There are things that come into your life, and the Word of God gets in there with that. And he says, you know what happens? He said, look, he that receives the seed among the thorns, verse 22, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Other stuff gets in your way. That seed is there. And look, I mean, there's the seed. And it begins to spring out. But there's something else that says, let me take the place of that, what that seed's getting. I want the attention for that. I want the nutrition for that. I want the watering for that. I want the space for that. And I'll tell you, other stuff will come in and crowd out anything that God wants to do with His Word in your life. There'll always be time for something else, right? I mean, I want to tell you, you just try, get your Bible down, see if your phone don't start ringing, and somebody's trying to talk to you about your car's warranty. Amen? I mean, they'll call you and say, well, we noticed that you need some insurance. I mean, your phone will ring, and you're trying to pray and study and get with God, and then all of a sudden, somebody's ringing the doorbell. You need a new roof on your house. Amen? Huh? I'm telling you, there'll be a million things that'll come by. If not, I mean, it could even be something that, you know, somebody call you up and say, hey, here's Bill. I ain't talked to you in a month. Let me talk to you now. It's time for me to tell you about how my corn's hurting on my toe. Amen. You know, I mean, something like that. There's always something that will try to come in and crowd out what the Word of God wants to do. But aren't you thankful that there was a fourth kind of soil? And that soil, he says, but he that receiveth the seed, verse 23, into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some at 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Man, I'll tell you something. I'd like to be in on that 100-fold thing. I was reading some notes and history stuff
regarding some of that. And there is some historian that said in the Jewish culture, in the agrarian society that they lived in that day, the Jewish person that was a farmer thought if they could get a tenfold return on their seed, they were very well blessed. Jesus said, let me tell you something better than that. They some that get 100-fold, some that get 60-fold, some that get 30-fold. You ever gone out there and counted? Oh, let me tell you, you can go out there and count the apples on a tree. And you know where that thing started? One little bitty seed. You can count the kernels on an ear of corn. And you know that ear of corn started with one little bitty seed. And look how multiplied that thing has begun. I'm telling you, any kind of fruit, any kind of vegetable, whatever it is that you want to plant, if you look at it, you'll see that your dividend is so much more than what you started with. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to these folks. This is what the Word of God, it can produce something in your life. And I know sometimes we'll look at this and we'll think, oh, he's talking about people getting saved. That's not necessarily what, that may be part of it. But other parts of it is how that he wants you to grow. If you'll remember, Paul talks about over in the book of Galatians, he said, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those nine things are what grows from a person's salvation. Amen? If you go over and read in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, he talks about adding to your faith virtue and to this, and he keeps on adding on from there. I'm just telling you, there are things that ought to come out of our lives that we ought to be fruitful as we grow in our Christian lives. You ought to grow some. Sure, somebody ought to get saved. But I want to tell you, the saved folks ought to be growing. We ought to be busting out all over in knowing more and more about God. I want to tell you, you know how you get there? Well, your Bible tells you. Faith cometh by hearing. Where does hearing come from? By the Word of God. Amen. You need the Word of God. I remember a long time ago, and we used to, you know, in vacation Bible school, there was a little song that we gave the kids. And some of y'all probably know it too. And it's called Little Bitty Seed. The Word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. Some of y'all are humming it right now. The Word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. And that's what it is. It's just like the Word of God is like seeds that are planted and scattered. You know what that really means? It means any of us can be a farmer when we got this book. When you have handled it, when you have studied it, when you begin to get an understanding of it yourself, you can help somebody else because you've got the Word that is those little bitty seeds. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He says, look, I'll give you all of the definitions that you need to know about this. He said, the parable of the sower and the sower. He said, the seed is the Word of God. I mean, no mystery to that. The seed is the Word of God. What does that mean? That means me and you ought to be broadcasting that stuff. Well, the only way you can broadcast it is if you got it. How am I going to get it? You're going to get in this book and you're going to study it. You're going to come to preaching and you're going to hear it. You're going to come to Sunday school and you're going to listen. Somebody's going to teach it. You need to listen to it when you're listening on your radio in your car, when you got a quiet time at home, when you've got a devotion time, whatever it is, you ought to have the Word of God. Amen? I mean, that's what we need. We, as I say, we fill up our time so many other times with so many other things. But Jesus said, you need the Word of God. Why? Because he says, look, I want you to look at it as if you're looking in a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you see yourself in this story. When you're looking in a mirror, you see your own situation in this story. Where are you? Are you there where you say, I don't care, let the Word of God bounce off and I don't care what it does? Are you there to say, I want it to fall in some good soil, I want it to go into the depths of my being, I want it on the inside of my spiritual man, and I want something to grow? That's where we ought to be. That's where we ought to be. So you see your situation, but don't you understand this? There's always some consequences to deal with from your story. I mean, when you let this Word get in there, then there's something that ought to happen beyond that. As I said, there ought to be some growth. Amen? You ought to have some growth. Let me just tell you this. You know, we talked about Wednesday night while we were here talking about David and Bathsheba. And in that story, well, the whole thing, I just call it truth and consequences. Because truth is, you get out of the things of God, you quit doing what God said, you'll have some consequences. Can I tell you, David chose to sin with Bathsheba. Right? I mean, that's right, he chose it. Oh, preacher, he just fell. He didn't fall. He dived headlong into it, trust me. He knew what he was doing. And I want to tell you, there were consequences to his story. I mean, the consequences. You know what the consequences were? Very first thing that we heard was that the prophet Nathan came to him and said, "You're the man, you're the sinner, you need to get right." Well, he gets right with God. But he said, "I want to tell you something. The child that is born is going to die." And that child died. Boy, that was hard for David and Bathsheba to deal with. But I want to tell you, God told him beyond that, he said, "Not that ain't all of it." He said, "Because of what you've done, the sword will never leave your house." What do you mean, the sword? If you go back and read, we went through this the other night. There were other instances where David had sons and daughters and children beyond all of that. And they wound up, some of them killing each other, getting killed themselves. And it was all due to what David had done at that one little point in his life. What do you say? I'm saying your sins got consequences. I'm saying what you do will, it's a Bible believable axiom, if you will. It is this, that you will reap what you sow. I don't care what you want to throw out there. You know what? Hey, have you ever done it? Go out there and say, "Well, I think I'll go plant this row and I'm going to put green beans, and when I come back, I better find some tomatoes." Well, you're a dummy, okay? I don't understand that, can't you? I mean, it's not going to happen. Why? Because when you put down bean seeds, you're going to get beans. When you put tomato plants, I'm looking for tomatoes. Amen? I mean, look, that's you get what you sow. You will reap whatever you sow. Now, if you want to get out here and act foolish and do unbelievable thing and just, you know, act as goofy as you can, you're going to reap from that. And you know what? There's some of us in this room could raise our hands and say, "Yep, been there and done that." Amen? Got the T-shirt and everything, right? And I'm just telling you that, I don't care. We think sometimes, man, that ain't going to happen to me. Can I tell you there are some things in this world that are absolute laws? Do you know that? Every time that I throw that up, it comes back down. You know why? Because there's a law. It's called gravity. And it works every time. Y'all watch those folks up in the space station lately? There's a man and a woman up in the space station. And they've been, and this lady is in there, and they're doing this interview, and she turns a flip. And I'm like, hallelujah. You know why she can do that? Because there ain't no gravity. Her hair's standing straight up. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not. I've been wanting to go comb it for about a month now. I mean, it's just straight up. But it's because there's no gravity. But while you're down here, every time that thing's going to go up, come back down. Why? Because that's a law. I'll tell you, the law is this. Whatever you reap, you will sow. I mean, whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you're putting in there, it's going to come back to you. Whatever you lay out, it's coming back to you. Amen? So I'm telling you, you better realize when this seed is scattered, it's wanting to bring forth a productive fruit in your life. It's wanting to bring forth something that you can understand, or something that will help you, or something that will grow you, something that will improve you, something that will be better than it was before. So look, I'm telling you, last of all, God wants you to do this. He wants you to... Jesus said, let me get you the picture. Get the picture. And then, secondly, you're to do this. You're to look in the mirror. But last of all, I want you to do this. Look out the window. What do you mean, look out the window? After you've looked in the mirror and you see you, look out the window. What I mean by that is God's trying to show you something from beyond this picture. God's trying to show you something.
I mean, listen. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 13. He said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not. Neither do they understand. Jesus said, I'm having to talk to them this way because they really wouldn't get what I would really like to tell them. He said, and then he said in verse 14, the prophet Isaiah said the same thing. But look what he says in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many of the prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear, and have not heard them. What do you say? I'm saying God's wanting you to have a spiritual eye so you can see how He wants you to see. God wants you to have a spiritual eye. When you begin to have a spiritual eye, you can look at things going on in this old world and you see what God's trying to do in that. When God does some things in your life and you're sitting there and everybody else is just blinded to it and you can see what God is doing in your life. God is trying to grow you. God is trying to mold you. God is trying to shape you into something that you ought to be. You know what a lot of us say? And we're kind of like, you know, Job and his friends. Job had all of these things happen to him in his life. If you remember, he's lost all of his children, lost all of his animals, lost all of his way to gain wealth, lost everything that he had. And, you know, his friends came to him and said, Job, you've done something wrong. You're not right with God. Look what's happened to you. And do you know that's a common thinking? And if you're not careful, you'll think the same thing. Well, look at poor old so-and-so over there. I wonder what they've done. I wonder why that happened to them. Do you know why things happen to us sometimes? Because God puts us in the place of trials and testings. Doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It means that God is shaping us. God is molding. And sometimes that word will help you understand those situations. God will tell you and say, I'm putting you here for this reason. You're here because that's what I want to do for you. I'll never forget this. Long time ago, we used to preach. And this is the first church when I first started preaching. And we would preach on Wednesday nights. And our pastor worked second shift, so some of us guys had... And there was, I don't know, four or five of us in church, young preachers. And my daddy was one of them. Daddy wasn't a young preacher, but he was one of the preachers. He came in Wednesday night, and it was his turn to preach. He came in and he had this little styrofoam cup. And in this little styrofoam cup, there was a little, it looked like some kind of a small tree that had, you know, just small branches and going to get bigger. But it's just a little bitty thing. And I thought, what's he going to do with that? He got up there on the pulpit and he read some scripture and he started, he said, I want y'all to look at this. He said, guess where I found this? He said, there was a place. He said, where I work, and he worked over at the old Armor Oil Company over in Alton Park. And I mean, that whole place, it's slabbed out concrete. I mean, they've concrete everywhere. He said, I looked out there. And this might have been that same day or day before. He said, and there was a crack in that concrete, and this silly plant was growing. He said, I went by and I noticed it, and I went on, didn't work, came back after work. He said, and it was still there. And he said, I reached down, and I gently pulled it up out of the ground that where it was, and I got me some dirt, and I put dirt in, and I put it in here, and I brought it to you. You know what he was showing us? You can bloom and grow wherever you're planted. Even in the most adverse, the hardest, the worst conditions, you can still grow and thrive and prosper. You know what? Somebody forgot to tell that little plant, you can't grow there. You messed up. I mean, don't you understand? You're in the concrete. Well, it wasn't even listening. It just kept on growing. It just kept on pushing through. It just kept on coming. Isn't that amazing? That's what I'm telling you. Sometimes God is trying to tell you, you can grow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what the situation. You can still grow wherever you are. Jesus said, sure, there's the hard ground. Sure, there's the stony ground. Sure, there's the thorn. But, hey, just make yourself a heart that's got some good ground in it. Amen.
And when you do, things will begin to grow. Things will begin to grow. And God's wanting you to look out the window and see that. As I say, it doesn't matter so much. It doesn't matter so much about, you know, those things that you just have to have a spiritual ear and hear. You have to have some spiritual eyes and just get them open. You get your spiritual eyes open. And when you do that, man, you know what that'll do? That'll bring about within you a spiritual heart that gets enabled to do what God wants you to do. Amen? I mean, you know, there's always a spiritual connection. And, you know, sometimes we don't get it. There's a spiritual connection between our eyes and our ears and our heart. When you see things, when you hear things, it'll affect your heart. One of the prophets said, I believe it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. Do you realize that? The things that you see will affect your heart in a good way, and it could do it in a bad way. If you'll sit there, do you realize that's what I was talking about David the other night? He let his eyes affect his heart in a bad way. He sat there and he stared and he lusted and he looked and he, you know, planned and plotted about Bathsheba. He should have took his eyes off, never looked there and went somewhere else. But he didn't. His eye affected it, his heart. I'm telling you, it can also happen in a good way. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he began to weep. He looked out over the city and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen doth her chicks, but ye would not. They were going down. And what he saw affected his heart. Amen? I'm just telling you, God says when you see the picture, when you look at yourself in the mirror, then I want you to see that all of these things should affect you in your heart. In your heart. And when they affect you in your heart, you can and will do something about it. Now, what I mean by you will do something, you'll either turn to it or you'll turn away from it. I don't know what you're planning on doing this morning. I don't know where your heart is. I don't know what you've got going on. But can I tell you, Jesus is saying, I want you to grow. I want you to grow big. I want you to grow bold. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at this, when Jesus starts this parable in verse number 3, you notice what he says? Behold, a sower went forth to sow. You see that word, behold? Really, what he's saying is, y'all better pay attention to this because it's important. I want you to know this morning how you hear, how you receive, and what you do with the Word of God. It's important today. You're going to respond to it? You're going to respond? Are you going to let this fall on that hard ground? You're going to let this fall on that stony? You're going to let it fall on that thorny stuff and something else is going to come along and choke? No. Let it fall into some good ground. And say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to let it grow. I'm going to let it grow. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song, if you will.